The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting cam, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Well, it's Thursday, everyone. Another day, another big breaking news story. First, we wrapped up today's pre-show music with Chris Cornell with Soundgarden, actually, Black Hole Sun. And the distressing news this morning that I awoke to, that Chris Cornell had passed away last night. And unfortunately, he was on tour. And early signs point to suicide. I don't know what makes somebody take their own life, but there are times when I do understand it. Yeah. Depression has been a thing with me for since adolescence. And I don't want to get too far into it now because I've been on very shaky ground in recent months. And if I start talking about it, I get upset. These are tough times we're living in and put aside anything personal going on. Just living life in this world these days is rough. Chris Cornell seemingly had everything going for him. Again, we don't know what went on in his personal life, but such sad news. And then, a couple hours later, I heard the breaking news that Roger Ailes had died, and I got to say, did not have the same reaction. With Ailes, it was like he was 77 years old and good riddance. I don't like to speak ill of the dead, but boy, in this case, this man did so much harm to so many people that I never met him. Glad that I never met him. Glad that I was never subjected to working for him. Again, he caused so much misery, so much pain on so many people that, good luck in your next life. Anyway, on that cheery note, I said it yesterday. With each day, I wonder what the next shoe dropping is going to be. And sure enough, yesterday afternoon, right around the same time, it must have been right around 6 o'clock, the news broke that Rod Rosenstein, Stein, Joe Scarborough, Stein, it's pronounced, whoever I heard say it again today wrong, Rosenstein, the acting attorney general, had named Robert Mueller as the special counsel to take over the investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 election. It's about time. Now, this means it may go on a little longer because Mueller has got to get up to speed, but he's a pro, and it seems like everybody from Bernie Sanders to, Jason Chaffetz, they're all applauding the move. Robert Mueller was FBI director for 12 years. Now, these are 10-year terms, so he was even kept on for an extra couple of years until Comey was brought in. So, and Mueller was also one of the guys who, along with Comey, said hell no to the shenanigans that were going on when they tried to get Robert Ashcroft, then in the hospital in dire condition, to sign off on a warrantless wiretapping warrant. And Mueller and Comey said, no, hell no. So this is a guy at least with some integrity. All right. I'm feeling a bit at a loss because I do my best to keep up with everything going on. But I'm telling you, I'm a bit overwhelmed, to be honest with you. I read a lot. I watch television news. I'm all over the place, from CNN to MSNBC to the networks to online stuff. No, I don't go to Fox. I don't do that. I try to avoid propaganda. And then I try to keep my spirits up with a little bit of comedy too, because I think that's really important. And it gets more and more difficult with each passing day to stay on top of everything that's going on. So I thought today, while we're waiting for Howie Klein will be here at the bottom of the hour, that I'd open the phone lines and let you weigh in on anything going on. So much of it. So 954-889-6410 is the number. 954-889-6410. Or if you're on Skype, you can just Skype into Nicole Sandler, all one word. And I'll take calls as they come up, as I can. Oh, it was John Ashcroft. I'm sorry. Richard Ashcroft was from The Verve. The band. I get musicians and politicians mixed up all the time. John Ashcroft. Thank you, Speedbird9 in the chat room. See, I've got musicians on the mind today. Yesterday, as I'm going through all of the sound clips and things, figuring out what we're going to talk about. And yesterday I didn't get to play much of it because we had two great guests, I might add. Big thanks to Will Bunch and Jason Leopold for joining us yesterday. There were a bunch of things that I came upon that I just, that I couldn't share with you yesterday. So for instance, Here, this is how George Stephanopoulos opened Good Morning America yesterday. I added a little twist to the end because it was all I could think about.
What we've learned in the last 24 hours means that the course of Trump's presidency will turn on his coming public showdown with James Comey. The big question, did President Trump try to block the FBI's Russia investigation,
yes,
commit an impeachable offense?
Yes.
We now know that the FBI director made contemporaneous notes of his meetings with the president. That dinner in January, when the president reportedly asked Comey if he was under investigation, requested a pledge of personal loyalty.
Yes, he did.
An Oval Office meeting in February, when the president, after asking his vice president and attorney general to leave the room, brought up the FBI investigation of his fired national security advisor, Michael Flynn. I hope you can let this go, is what the notes say.
Unreal, right?
Those seven words could be Trump's smoking gun. Comey's notes, the modern equivalent of Nixon's tapes. Congress will get them. Comey will testify. Whether Trump holds the White House will depend on how Comey describes those notes, who Congress believes, how the country responds. Less than 4 months into the Trump presidency, we are watching, in the words of Republican Senator John McCain, a Watergate-sized crisis play out in real time.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
This is all I could think of as he's going through that litany of events that happened in the days leading up to yesterday. It's a soap opera. It's the real politicians of Washington, D.C., of the dysfunctional White House. Except I know that's the wrong soap opera for ABC. I get it, because one of my diversions is, I can't believe I'm admitting this, I watch General Hospital. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I admitted that I watched Survivor. Oh, my God, did you see Survivor last night? Woo! I watch General Hospital, too. And these days, I just need a diversion, right? Let me tell you what happened today. So aside from Chris Cornell dying and, you know, Roger Ailes, bye-bye, I get a call from my kid's school. Now, Allison is just days away from graduating high school. And she, I did pull it up here. Anyway, so she's doing this program. All she needed was 1.5 credits left to graduate. So she did this thing where she could finish it up on the computer, because my kid hates school. She is not a good student and doesn't like going to school. So they have a program where you can just go in. It's a 5-hour-a-day program, and you work on the computer. And again, it was 2 classes she had to finish. And so she's, the last day for seniors is supposed to be Friday. Well, a little before 12 noon today, I get a call from her teacher saying that the school has been on lockdown all morning and there would be no classes today. They were closing down and sending everyone home, so she shouldn't come in today. Reason? Well, a few days ago, there was what they called a hoax, a shooting hoax, right? Someone was threatening to go in and shoot up the place that Allison told me about, because she told me she got to school and there were like 6 cop cars. And she thought, well, the cops have nothing better to do. My kid's such a cynic. It's really sad. Anyway, I told her, no, they do have better things to do. However, if you ever get to school and there are a bunch of cop cars there, there's something going on. Well, it turned out that there was a shooting threat that today apparently was ratcheted up again. Somebody called in a threat to the school. They did a room-by-room search, and they turned up a replica of a gun. It wasn't a real gun, but it looked like a gun. And so they locked down the place while they continued searching. This kind of shit is scary. This is a scary, crazy world that we live in. And it's not only there. I mean, it's everywhere. Today in Times Square, a car shot through the crowd, killing, the last time I looked, one person, injuring another 14 or 15. And now they're saying that this was a guy who had a number of DUIs to his credit. Why was he still driving? Anyway, they were saying they didn't think it was terror related, but just a guy who is a known DUI driver, and like that. So that's kind of frightening. Times Square, if you've ever walked through Times Square, you know it's just jam-packed, wall-to-wall, actually building-to-building with people. And so some crazy person, I don't know if he lost control of the car or did it on purpose or was just drunk. I have no idea. It was Billo driving. I don't know. I'm a bit I'm heartened to look in the chat room and see some other people are admitting to watching General Hospital. So, you know, the reason I like a soap opera is because it is such a break from reality. No matter how bad things are, they'll never be as bad as they are for these people. Although some of them have it pretty damn well, and I would like some of the money they just throw around, because none of them ever seem to worry about jobs or working or earning a paycheck, which is my biggest worry these days. Anyway, I thought before we get Howie on, because it's, I could go through the special counsel thing, but you've heard by now. And this is good news, right? Good news that there is a special counsel. We could go through what happened over the last 9 days. In fact, you know what? Let's let Chris Hayes do it, okay? Because he did a really good job of it. So this, if you wonder why, if you're more on edge than usual, if you are kind of freaking out at loud sounds, if you have trouble sleeping at night because you're in a world of worry, this could explain it. This is the last 9 days. Well, actually 10, I'll add on the last day, 9 days before yesterday in Trumpville.
Last Monday, it was former acting Attorney General Sally Yates testifying that she warned the White House that its then National Security Advisor Michael Flynn was lying about his improper conversations with the Russian ambassador, therefore vulnerable to Russian blackmail. And the White House counsel responded to this urgent news by asking why the Justice Department cared. The next day, on Tuesday, Trump fires his FBI director, James Comey, who had been leading the investigation into the Trump campaign's possible collusion with Russia and who had recently asked for more resources for that investigation. Then, on Wednesday, the president welcomes two Russian officials into the Oval Office. In response to a request from Vladimir Putin, the president says he could not say no to, or felt he could not say no to, including Sergei Kislyak, the very same Russian ambassador whose conversations with Michael Flynn prompted Yates's warning. And it just so happens we only know that Kislyak was there in the White House at this meeting because of photos released by the Russian media, who were allowed to come in and photograph the meeting. The U.S. press wasn't allowed in. Following day, Thursday, an interview with NBC's Lester Holt, the president undermines his administration's claim that he fired Comey for his handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation, saying he was thinking of, quote, this Russia thing when he fired him. Then, day after that, president threatened Comey on Twitter, suggesting he had secret tapes of their conversations, something the White House continues to neither confirm nor deny. On Saturday, candidates to replace Comey arrived at the Justice Department for their first interviews. On Sunday, the president tweeted Happy Mother's Day to his wife and then headed to the golf course without her. And that brings us to Monday, where we learned the president, astoundingly, gave highly classified intelligence to Russian officials in that Oval Office meeting that could have compromised intelligence gathering from an allied nation. And now, the stunning news that Comey wrote in a February memo that the president asked him to end the federal investigation into Flynn.
So that was Tuesday, right? We find out about the Comey memo, right? That was Tuesday. Then on to Wednesday, because that was Tuesday night. It's enough to make your head spin and puke green pea soup. Wednesday, yesterday, we learned that there was a special counsel appointed by Rod Rosenstein. I'm telling you, this thing is going to, I yelled at the TV this morning, Joe Scarborough, you get paid $1 million a year. It's Rosenstein, not Steen. It's Bruce Springsteen, Rod Rosenstein. Got it? And then this morning, Roger Ailes is dead. Ding dong. Oh, and the breaking news. There's more breaking news. Donald Trump is going to hold a news conference at 3:45 this afternoon. Ooh, how about you call in 954-889-6410 or Skype to Nicole Sandler and tell me what you think he's going to say. Wouldn't it be nice if he just says, you know, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I can't. This is not the job for me. I'm going to go back to my, my boardroom and you can have the country back. By the way, Pence, he's out too because he was complicit on all of this Michael Flynn stuff. Did you hear that part? There's 18 more. Oh, I should just play What's News because we're going to have Howie coming up. Well, I'll get to it in a moment. There were 18 more. It's going to be the FBI director announcement. Oh, God. Oh, God. And watch it be Joe Lieberman. I know it's Lieberman, but I call him Lieberman because he lied his ass off his last few years in the Senate, maybe even before that. But back to Pence. Pence was complicit all along. Pence went on the TV, I don't know, half a dozen times and said, oh, this is the first I heard of any of this Michael Flynn stuff. Bullshit. Mike Pence, although he's saying he will not comply with the subpoenas to come testify, this should be fun. Start popping the popcorn now. He said that that Mike Flynn said that he told the transition team that he was on the payroll of Turkey, that, you know, that that there was stuff going on, and Mike Pence played dumb. I know it's not a big stretch for him to play dumb, but he played dumb. He's like, I never heard that before. This is a, he's a liar. All these people are just liars. Yeah. Again, you see what I mean? It's so hard to keep it all straight. And so I apologize if I get anything wrong. All right. I'm trying to. All right. Let's do this. What time is it? All right. But before we get to Howie, before we do what's news, I think it's we need a little humor now and then. So I turned to the late night host. Thank God there was no writer strike. So Jimmy Fallon did something funny the other night. You know how Donald Trump and his family like to plagiarize speeches? Well, Donald Trump did it with the girl played by Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde at a commencement address. Not the one at the Coast Guard the other day, but the one he did at, you know, Liberty University. Right, Jerry? Did you see any of that? Every other word was, right, Jerry? Right, Jerry? You know that, Jerry, right? He's got thousands of people in the stadium, but every other word was, right, Jerry? I got it, Jerry. That's right, Jerry. My friend Jerry Falwell. Jerry. Aw, Jerry.
The world.
It is with passion.
Passion.
Courage of conviction.
Courage in your convictions.
And most importantly.
Most importantly.
Have faith in yourself.
Be true to yourself.
We did it!
I did it.
I thought that was hysterical. Sorry I didn't play it with the video. I just, with my new new setup here, it's hard to get it all together. So that was fun, a little fast, right? So let's, is it with the Colombian president? Oh. All right. People in the chat room are speculating on what the Trump press conference is going to be. I just wonder if he's going to take questions. Don't know. What I will, I'm not going to run it live because we have Howie Klein coming up, and no way in hell I'm going to preempt Howie for Donald fucking Trump. But I'll record it and we'll share the pertinent parts tomorrow, if there's any pertinent parts. Okay. All right. But there's another fun thing I wanted to share with you. You know, I'm partial to Schoolhouse Rock. I'm the right age group. I grew up with it, sort of. I was always a big kid. And a few weeks ago when Trump Care was being rolled out, Stephen Colbert had a great bit about that. I won't call it the AHCA. I will call it Trump Care. But Stephen Colbert had Bill on his show to talk about Trump Care.
I'm saying that the Senate is part of the government. This is a bill that passed out of the House. You and I are about the same age. We remember Schoolhouse Rock when we were kids, and I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And we're going to go through that process.
Yes, it's just like Schoolhouse Rock. So here to comment live from the Capitol steps, please welcome
Bill.
The Republican healthcare bill, everybody. Bill.
Come on, Bill. You can sing along with him.
Bill, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
Now, Bill, let me just ask you something about...
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
I understand, but...
That's my
Bill,
song.
I know it's your song, Bill. It's how you're known. But do you agree with Mick Mulvaney that you are not yet in your final form?
That's right, Stephen. The House may have passed me, but now I go to the Senate and the whole thing starts all over again.
Thank God.
It's a long journey, but I can't wait to be a law.
Bill, you should know a lot of people don't like you.
They don't, but Stephen, I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here
we
on
know, Bill, we know. Listen.
Oh, that's right. We established that.
Now, Bill, I got to ask, have you even read yourself?
Well, no, I thought the Congress would read me.
Mm. Well, they didn't, Bill. And if you become law, 24 million people could lose their health insurance.
What? That's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, at least I cover pre-existing conditions. Mm.
No, you don't do that either.
My God, I'm a monster. Who created me?
Bill, I don't know how to tell you this, but Donald Trump is your father.
No! That's not true. That's impossible.
Read yourself, Bill. Read yourself, Bill. You know it to be true.
No!
Just calm down, Bill. Calm down. It's going to be all right.
No, I have to be stopped. If no one else will do it, I'll veto myself.
No, Bill. No, Bill, don't.
Uh-oh. Paper shredder.
Oh, my God. He's dead.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not. They made copies. We're all screwed.
Oh. Health care bill, everybody.
All right, so there's Stephen Colbert's health care bill. Not to be left out, Jimmy Kimmel brought out Bill 2 just the other night.
The White House? So cool. But I wonder who that sad-looking fellow over there is.
Me?
It's Bill.
I'm alive.
What?
A lie.
Oh.
Like when you don't tell the truth.
I don't understand.
Let me try to explain. I'm just a lie. Ah. Yes, I'm only a lie. I'm so untrue, I just want to cry.
Mm.
Well, I just popped out of the president's brain. And the very idea of me's completely insane. But someday I'm gonna be a fact. Oh, yes, I'll try and I'll try. But today I am still just a lie.
But if you're a lie, why do you want people to think you're true?
You see, kid, I make the president feel good about himself. And sometimes I can even help him sell his policies to voters.
Ooh.
Wow, you sound really important.
Yeah, but not unless people believe me. I'm just a lie. Yes, I'm only a lie. But I'm gonna be a fact by and by. See, first the president tweets and his followers retweet me. They try to debunk me. All they do is repeat me. And across the internet I'll fly. That's how I'll spread far and wide. But today I am still just a lie.
That's horrible.
I know, but real facts are so depressing. Like, take climate change. If we believe that, we couldn't burn all that coal.
But we shouldn't burn it.
That's what you say. You see, not everybody has to believe a lie. Only enough to make me a debate. I'm just a lie, just a sweet little lie. And I'm too believable to deny. Pretty soon, I'm being debated. All over town, Kellyanne is spinning me, Spicer's my clown. Everybody here's taking sides, and the truth will lay down and die. Cause you can't tell a fact from a lie.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how it works.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Trump care is gonna be great.
No! We have to go back to Bill. No, we don't. All right. We're going to do What's News, come back with Howie Klein next. I hope you got a giggle out of that because we could all use a laugh now and then.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Another day, another shoe drops. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has appointed former FBI Director Robert Mueller as special counsel to investigate Russian influence in the 2016 election.
This is an ABC News special report.
Good afternoon. We are coming on the air now with major news from the Department of Justice. The acting Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has decided to appoint a special counsel to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 election. Any ties with the Trump campaign, and they call it related matters. This is a big news from the Department of Justice. Here is what the acting Attorney General said. In my capacity as acting Attorney General, I determine that it is in the public interest for me to exercise my authority and appoint a special counsel to assume responsibility for this matter. My decision is not a finding that crimes have been committed or that any prosecution is warranted. I have made no such determination. What I have determined is that based upon the unique circumstances, the public interest requires me to place this investigation under the authority of a person who exercises a degree of independence from the normal chain of command. A special counsel is necessary in order for the American people to have full confidence in the outcome. Our nation is grounded on the rule of law, and the public must be assured that government officials administer the law fairly. The special counsel will be Robert Mueller, who is the director of the FBI from 2001 to 2013, former U.S. attorney, assistant attorney general for the criminal division, as well respected throughout Washington as a straight shooter from both parties.
Both sides do seem to approve. Jason Chaffetz is the Republican chair of the House Oversight Committee.
He has impeccable credentials, a storied history, 10 years leading the FBI in both the Bush and the Obama administration. It couldn't be a better choice. He's at the latter part of his career. There's nothing to prove. I think he'll do a fabulous job.
And Senator Bernie Sanders tweeted, "Robert Mueller's appointment is a positive step. I'm hopeful that he will help us get to the bottom of the Trump campaign's ties to Russia." Of course, Trump himself tweeted, "This is the single greatest witch hunt of a politician in American history." Then he added, "With all of the illegal acts that took place in the Clinton campaign and Obama administration, there was never a special counsel appointed." Now, the guy at the center of the investigation, Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, reportedly told Trump's transition team weeks before the inauguration that he was under federal investigation for secretly working as a paid lobbyist for Turkey during the campaign, according to two people familiar with the case. And there's more from the Flynn saga, as Reuters reports that Flynn and other advisors to Trump's campaign were in contact with Russian officials and others with Kremlin ties in at least 18 calls and emails that we hadn't previously known about during the last 7 months of the 2016 race. Six of those were reportedly between Flynn and Russian diplomat Sergei Kislyak. Meanwhile, on Tuesday afternoon, while the president was meeting with Turkish strongman Erdogan and continuously mispronouncing his name, Erdogan's security personnel began beating on protesters outside the Turkish ambassador's residence in D.C. On MSNBC Thursday morning, Senator John McCain had some tough words.
"I'm still outraged at this Turkish beating. That we should throw their ambassador the hell out of the United States of America. This isn't Turkey. This isn't a third world country. This kind of thing cannot go unresponded to diplomatically and maybe in other ways. Maybe bring lawsuits against. We can identify these people. These are not just average people that did this beating. This is Erdogan's security detail. Somebody told them to go out there and beat up on these peaceful demonstrators. And I think it should have repercussions, including identifying these people and bringing charges against them. After all, they violated American laws in the United States of America. So look, you cannot have that happen in the United States of America. People have the right in our country to peacefully demonstrate, and they were peacefully demonstrating."
The president's commencement speech tour continued Wednesday as he spoke to the graduates of the Coast Guard Academy, where he once again turned the topic to his favorite subject, himself.
"Over the course of your life, you will find that things are not always fair. You will find that things happen to you that you do not deserve and that are not always warranted. But you have to put your head down and fight, fight, fight. Look at the way I've been treated lately, especially by the media. No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly. You can't let them get you down. You can't let the critics and the naysayers get in the way of your dreams. I guess that's why I won. Thank you. I guess that's why we won."
On the world stage, there are lots of examples, but Jake Tapper pointed out a few in American history that contradict Trump.
"Four U.S. presidents have been actually literally assassinated and killed. So I think that there are people who have been treated worse than President Trump has been. But more broadly speaking, when it comes to a president who has been treated unfairly, I mean, that president led the charge claiming that the first African-American president was born in Africa, which is not only a charge that is false, but it is not a little bit racist. But more broadly speaking, every single one of the president's wounds is self-inflicted. Every single one of them."
And finally, on Thursday morning, we learned that former Fox News chief Roger Ailes is dead at the age of 77. "I got good news." And that's What's News for today. If you appreciate these reports, I hope you'll consider a contribution. The Nicole Sandler Show and What's News are 100% listener supported, and we depend on your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on the Progressive Voices Network and NicoleSandler.com.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole. I can't tell you how excited I am right now.
Why?
Well, I'm like going crazy. I think that we've shared here that Blue America has made a major effort to recruit a good candidate to run against Paul Ryan.
Yes.
And everything is falling into place with that. You know, the candidate is fantastic, like really fantastic. A guy named Randy Bryce, a union guy, an iron worker, an activist who's a Bernie guy who, you know, he started off as a Bernie guy. And when Hillary won the nomination, he became he was named an elector. In other words, he would have been he was on the electoral college to vote for Hillary, but he's basically a Bernie guy.
Right.
And he's awesome. And he's gonna probably be running. I mean, no one knows this except for your listeners. I mean, and people who read my blog. No one else knows this yet. But when he and I were talking recently, he was telling me he thinks he's got like someone to run his campaign for him. And I said, no, you need the absolute best person in the whole country to do this for you,
mm-hmm.
not someone who will do it, but the best. And now he's got the very best person in the whole country running his campaign. So that was why I was really excited this morning. Then early this morning, I wrote a post about how the DCCC, the people who were responsible for recruiting, for in other
yes.
words, for deciding who the DCCC is going to support, which candidates they're going to get in various races, that all these are all people who oppose Medicare
payer,
for all. These
right.
are not single payer people, and that's why you know they tend to recruit shitty candidates just like themselves.
Right.
So and I was listening to them and saying you know they're not in favor of single payer. When I wrote this, there were 110 co-sponsors of the of John Conyers' bill, the Medicare for All bill. 110 in the House, 110 sponsors. There are 111 now. Right after my post came out, in which I denounced Joe Crowley.
Yes.
So Joe Crowley is an important name. Everyone needs to know. He's like the main blue new Dem. And he's extremely powerful Wall Street Democrat. And he was just made recently the heir apparent to Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer.
Really?
So he's now the number three Democrat in the House. He's as bad as it comes. You'll never find someone worse. But when I was told by someone who knows that when he read my post, he immediately had his staff call up and put his name on as a co-signer. So when
wow.
we started today, there were 110 co-signers. Right now, 111 co-signers.
Good work, Howie. That's awesome. And especially because...
I mean, I feel so good about it. I feel like I should take the rest of the day off and just enjoy myself.
Well, you deserve it, but wait about 25 minutes, if you don't mind. And then take the rest of the day.
I don't mind.
No, I was reading that piece that you're talking about. The headline is, do you want candidates who back single payer? The DCCC recruiters don't. And this is that problem. You know, I've noticed in recent days, a number of Democrats have gone on TV and have talked about Medicare for All, have talked about single payer or a public option or... you know, when they were talking about Trump Care, which I've decided I refuse to call it the AHCA. It's Trump Care.
I only call it Trump Care.
Yeah. And so, so I've noticed a number of them using the words, actually coming out and saying it, which is a far cry better than we were when they were talking about, you know, putting the Affordable Care Act in place, where none of the Democrats would step out and go for it other than, you know, Bernie and maybe one or two others, because they didn't want to get on the wrong side of President Obama, I guess. But now I guess those shackles are off. And if you got the number three guy in the Democratic Party on the House side to sign on to this, that's huge news.
It is huge news. I mean, it's going to open the floodgates, because until now, really what it's been is the Republican wing of the Democratic Party. In other words, the New Dems and the Blue Dogs, they're the ones that are, you know, against it. They're not signing on as co-sponsors, and they're just, and worse yet, some of them are bad-mouthing it and going around and saying, you know, talking crap about it. But now with Crowley signing on to this thing for whatever reason, I mean, I'm sure it's just a matter of optics for him. But fine, because it then says to the rest of the New Dems and the Blue Dogs, hey, this is something that you can sign on to. And I expect that over the next week or so, we're going to wind up with a lot more. But already, I mean, 111, that's the majority of Democrats in the House, a nice heavy majority of Democrats in the House. So it's something, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen, but certainly if the Democrats take over the House in 2018, it'll pass the House, unless Pelosi really stands in the way. But, I mean, Pelosi is making herself – you know, the way she became the leader of the Democrats was because the guy before her, this guy, Dick Gephardt, who's not in Congress anymore, he's a filthy, scummy lobbyist now. But when he was in Congress, he took the wrong side on a really important issue. So the majority of Democrats in the House, led by number two Democrat, Nancy Pelosi, were against Bush's war, you know, when he invaded Iraq. They were against that. Gephardt, who was the number one Democrat at the time, he not only did he back Bush, but he helped Bush write the legislation, the authorization for the use of force.
Oh,
and
wow.
he and the Republican wing of the Democratic Party were on one side, and Pelosi with the majority of the Democrats were on the other side. Well, now Pelosi is taking some of the wrong perspective on important issues. She's not for single payer, or if she is, she hasn't signed on as a co-sponsor, and she is saying also that, you know, she's trying to slow everything down on impeachment. And I mean, last time when people wanted to impeach Bush, she said that's off the table.
Yep,
and that was
I
the
remember
end of it.
That. Yep.
Yeah, of course. So now one has to wonder, where is she? I mean, you know, in her town hall that she did on CNN last week, she said that she would she seemed to be indicating that she's not for impeachment, and she was poo-pooing it. And most Democrats don't feel the same way that she does. And if she's going to stand in the way of single payer, and if she's going to stand in the way of impeaching Trump, I would say that that'll be the end of her
now,
in terms of the Democratic Party. They'll finally say, okay, goodbye. We've had it with you. Thank you for your service. It's over.
Yeah, I'm waiting for someone in the chat room to tell me again. I know that Nancy has a primary challenger out there in San Francisco.
Does that? It's unlikely that a primary challenger is going to be able to beat her. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, Nancy has a long history. She mostly has done good stuff over a very long period of time, and there's a lot of affection for her among Democrats in San Francisco. I'm glad she has a challenge, but don't count on that. What I'm talking about is not her being defeated in an election for Congress, but the Democrats saying that, you know, you've been the leader of the party for a really long time. It's time for somebody else to be the leader now.
Right.
The problem with that is the number two guy is
Steny Hoyer,
who's much, much worse than her. And then now Crowley, who's worse than either one of them.
Wow. Wow. And Crowley's a young guy. Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi are both older, so chances are they could be not too much longer for the House. But Joe Crowley could potentially be with us for a long time. Who's coming up behind Crowley? Are there any good one? I know that Ted Lieu is one of the five vice chairs of the DCCC, right?
Right, but that's a long way from being a member of House leadership. Yeah. He's not considered a member of House leadership yet. So he's a ways off. Most of the people who are in position to be able to win the leadership role are really bad. I mean, there aren't very many good ones. I mean, I assume maybe Keith could sort of try to move up Keith Ellison.
Right.
But he's not there yet either. And you know, the people that are being groomed basically by Hoyer are all horrible. I mean, he's taken Jim Himes under his wing, who's a big Wall Street guy. He used to be a vice president of Goldman Sachs, and now he does all of Wall Street's bidding in the House Financial Services Committee. In fact, I just finished writing a story about him for tomorrow. Then Kyrsten Sinema, who we've talked about before from Arizona, she's actually the worst Democrat in the House. She's another one. Obviously, the person who is the most likely to, if Nancy were to say she's retiring today, and with Hoyer, and they both left, the likeliest challenge to Crowley would be even worse than Crowley, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Oh God. Oh God!
It's all horrible at the top. It's just all there's no one that I see other than Keith, who's not quite there yet. There's no one that I see who's any good.
So we're basically screwed.
Except depending on the timing, yes.
Right. The Progressive Caucus is the largest caucus in the House, isn't it?
They're the largest caucus, and they used to be the largest caucus. But I don't know that they are the largest caucus anymore. They might still be. I might be wrong about that. But the New Dems are coming up really fast.
Oh, that really sucks. That really sucks. So I mean, all the more reason.
And the New Dems are certainly the most powerful caucus. I mean, at one time, not that long ago, a decade ago, all the committee chairs many of the committee chairs were in the Progressive Caucus. The Progressive Caucus had huge clout. Pelosi's from the Progressive Caucus herself.
Right.
She was one of the original members. Bernie was from the Progressive Caucus too, one of the original members, and I think he was the first chairman of it. But the thing is that now a lot of that power has moved over to the right, and a lot of the most powerful members of the Democratic caucus is the New Dems. And a lot of the dissatisfaction with the Democrats in Congress really is because of that. They really are the Republican wing of the Democratic Party. That's what they are. And Himes, this guy from Connecticut, mm-hmm. the one who I was just talking about, who used to be a vice president of Goldman Sachs, he's a very, very powerful young, up-and-coming guy. Rachel Maddow loves him. She gets him on her show whenever she can.
He's been all over the TV the last couple of days.
Sorry?
Yeah, he's been all over TV the last couple of days. I've seen him at least three or four times in the last 24 hours.
There's no reason for that. Why should he be?
Right.
I mean, he's not a bad-looking guy, so they think, okay, well, TV viewers like someone who's attractive looking, so they have him for that. But he doesn't have any position. You know, it's not like he's the Speaker of the House or the leader of the minority party or anything like that. But you know, they can. I don't know. They're pushing him. They see him as a potential up and coming leader. And it's not something that happens by chance. These things are very, very orchestrated by people with an agenda. And that's why, and right now that agenda is pushing a lot of very bad people, and Jim Himes is one of them.
So who are the other good ones, Howie? We know Ted Lieu because we talk about him all the time. There's more than Ted Lieu. Who are the other good ones that we should be keeping?
Quite a lot of them.
Keith Ellison.
They're not on track for leadership roles. Part of the reason, we'll go into some of the ones who are really good, but part of the reason why they're not on track is because the good ones tend to not be that involved, unfortunately, with politics,
right?
Internal politics. They're involved with
only with issues and policy. So all of the really good, almost all of the really good Democrats are so obsessed with trying to, you know, get health care right or trying to get the immigration policy right. That's what they put all their energy into and all their time, not into the kinds of work you have to do to rise in the ranks of the caucus itself. So a lot of them just don't even bother with that. They're just interested in policy.
Right, like
and,
Mark Pocan,
you know, that's why we
loved
Alan Grayson. He was someone who could do both.
Right.
But not that many people do both. I mean, Pelosi used to do both also, which is, you know, which was good when she was very progressive. She's less so these days, but she was really good at one time and she could play the politics. But anyway, the other ones, aside from Ted Lieu, who are seem to be able to do this, in other words, to walk and chew gum at the same time, are Mark Pocan from Madison, Wisconsin. But he's, again, like Ted, he is a relatively junior member of Congress, and it takes a lot of time. You know, so you say, why is someone, a slimy person like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, why is she on track for leadership? What for what reason? And the thing is she pushes herself. Mm-hmm. She's very, very ambitious beyond anything else, is willing to step on anybody to get herself ahead of anybody else. But the thing is this, she, and I've explained this before, but she will go to the sleaziest and the slimiest of donors and sell herself to them and get money. And what she does with that money, remember, she's in a district where Republicans can't, you know, make a case. I mean, it's a blue district.
It's right here. Next door to me.
Sorry?
It's right next door to me. Yeah, right.
Broward, Miami. Mm-hmm. I mean, Miami-Dade and Broward counties. Those two counties is where her district is. It's very, very blue. She doesn't have to worry. But what she does with that money is she gives it to other Democrats and something worse. She will go to, for example, the private prison industry.
Oh yeah.
Democrats don't want to take money from the private prison industry. Democrats don't want to take money from the sugar industry in Florida. Democrats don't want to take money from the anti-Castro lobbyists. I mean, those are like the sleaziest places to get money, and people are embarrassed. They don't, you know, they want the money, but they don't want to be seen as taking money. They don't want to go to those people. They don't want to interact with those people. Debbie does it for them. She will go and she will get the money from the worst sources and make sure that the money is distributed around the caucus with her name on it so that they know they owe her one. And literally she does that, and she does it all the time. I mean, I remember it was years and years ago, Charlie Rangel had a bill. I don't remember the exact specifics of it, but basically what the bill – he worked it out with the Republicans from the farm states that they were going to be able to export grain and food products basically to Cuba. Cuba would buy American goods. And there was, it looked like this was a cinch. I mean, everybody was in favor of it. You know, there were tons of Democrats in favor of it, and there were and all the farm state Republicans were in favor of it. It looked like it was going through. And at that time, Charlie Rangel was the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, so he was one of the most powerful Democrats in Congress. This was happening, and all of a sudden, at the last second, Wasserman Schultz comes in like a bat out of hell, and she calls in all her chips from all these freshmen who didn't know shit from Shinola about Cuba. They didn't know what the issues were. They just know that Debbie had gotten them each $5,000 checks, and they all buckled, and the thing lost by a couple of votes.
Unreal.
And I was just shocked by it. How could that happen? Who is she to challenge Charlie Rangel, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, on something like this? And it was just so surprising to me. And then, you know, I got into it a little bit, and I watched, follow the money.
Yep.
And I watched how she was able to take in all this money, not for herself, but she was able to direct it to all of these new freshmen who were so happy to get it without having to do anything for it, although, of course, later they did have to do something for it. Many of them have been defeated, by the way, since then. These were, again, these were a bunch of Blue Dogs and New Dems that she got to vote against opening up trade with Cuba.
And the good news is, though, that we do have Tim Canova running against her again. He is a Blue America-endorsed candidate, and he came really close last time, so this can happen. Now he's got the name recognition, and I got to tell you, he has not let up a day. He's been there's a pipeline, believe it or not, that they're trying to put through down here. That he's been fighting, he's been out there, he's been vocal, he's been visible, which is a big deal because a lot of candidates they drop off after the race.
All right, Tim wasn't sure what he would do. He wasn't sure that he would necessarily run against her, although I was urging him to. But now he's sure. Now he is running against her, and we have endorsed him again, and we are asking people to donate to his campaign. And, you know, last time, a lot of people were afraid of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. You know, unions and some party leaders were frightened of her, and even if they knew what a slime bag she was and didn't want to endorse her, they were afraid to go against her. Now, you know, her powers have gone away a lot, and she's no longer that much of a threat to people. And I think that Tim is going to have a lot easier time this time than he did last time. Last time he had, you know, everything thrown against him that could be thrown against him. And I think this time he's going to wind up doing a lot better. Whether he beats her or not, we'll have to see. I mean, it's amazing to see her now. I get her emails. I don't know why she keeps sending them to me. I always make fun of them.
I got off her list. Yeah.
You got off it?
Oh,
you got off her list?
I did. Although I got something from her the other day, so I think they put me back on it, but I immediately said unsubscribe, so we'll see what happens. I want to, you know what, we've got like 5 minutes.
Them because I like to see what she's up to. And, you know, she's trying to make herself sound like she's the leader of the anti-Trump movement or something like that.
She's the resistance.
Literally, if I had to name the 10 people who were at fault for bringing us Donald Trump, for the reason the people who can be blamed for him being in the White House, she'd be on that list. She's one of them. The way she cheated and turned off people during the primary, turned off so many people to voting for Democrats, and they just said, well, what is the Democratic Party? It's Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She was the head of the DNC, and she cheated, and she was a slimy political hack, and people just didn't want to vote for the Democrats, and that had to do with Trump winning.
I don't doubt it. You know, we've got like 5 minutes left, so I do want to ask about Rob Quist, because that special election in Montana is 1 week from today. I actually played one of his songs in the pre-show music, because, you know, he's a musician. Did you know that he toured with the Grateful Dead?
I did.
Back in the 70s. I had no idea. You know how I learned that? From watching the video that Ryan Grimm did that's embedded at Down with Tyranny. I learned a lot about Rob Quist in that post. So he stands a good chance, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, you know, he's raised about $5 million, which is a huge amount of money.
In Montana.
But the Republicans are just pouring money into that race. So small donors are giving money to Rob's campaign. He's raised $5 million, which is great. But the Ryan has a super PAC that has poured millions into a race that they didn't think they would have to spend anything on. But the good news is, and I heard this actually not from Rob's campaign, but from a Republican working up there, who told me that their own internal polling now shows the race is a dead heat. It's a margin of error race.
Wow.
So no one knows who's ahead. There's no way to tell. So this is a race that only has one thing that's important right now, and that's turnout. If more Democrats and independents turn out, Rob is going to win. If more Republicans turn out, Rob isn't going to win. So this is a tied race that's all about turnout. So today, of course, the DNC announces that they're making a major investment in Georgia 6 in the race for Ossoff, which I'm happy about. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for
it's
doing
about
that.
Time, right?
Can you please do it in Montana as well? We need it there.
Right.
And we need it quick.
What about South Carolina? Is anything happening there?
I'm sorry, which one?
South Carolina?
Oh, no. South Carolina, no. The Democrats don't even have a good candidate. So they didn't have any good candidate in the primary. So it's a nothing race for the Democrats. It's completely just close your eyes, make believe it's not happening. The Republicans are two clowns who are fighting each other, and it's just a matter of it's a matter of nothing. It's a matter of two people who want to have careers. So two horrible Republicans that are battling to have to get to Congress so they can enhance their careers. That's it. There's no difference between them. The Democrat is, in my opinion, not worth fighting for. And the Democrats who he beat in the primary weren't worth fighting for either. So it's just a bunch of nothing, a big nothing pie.
Right. And now
the races that we have to be concerned about are the Georgia race, mm-hmm. Georgia 6 in the suburbs of Atlanta, and then the Montana race, which is the whole state. So there aren't that many states where there's only one member of Congress, and when there is just one member of Congress, it's called an at-large seat.
Right.
When you vote for the senator or you vote for a governor or you vote for a congressman, it's the same exact electorate. And that's interesting because the guy, the Republican who's running against Rob Quist is a guy named Greg Gianforte, and he was just defeated last November. Even though Trump won very, very handily against Hillary, Gianforte was defeated on that same day. So people, he was running for governor. So people went in and they voted for Trump, and then they looked at Gianforte and they said, "Oh no, Trump is bad enough. I can't vote for this guy." And they didn't. Either they didn't vote at all, or they voted for Bullock, the Democrat, who won.
Right.
The Democrat won that race. So when you hear the DCCC whining, we can't win, it's too red, we can't win. Really? We have a Democratic senator in John Tester who mm-hmm. won and was reelected.
Right.
And we've had Democratic governors there again and again and again. So why can't the Democrats win a House seat? What's the reason? There is no reason. The DCCC doesn't want to support Rob Quist because Rob Quist is a populist. Rob Quist is a progressive. Rob Quist is independent-minded. He's not going to follow their lead. He's going to do what he thinks is right. Rob Quist is a Bernie-crat. I mean, the DCCC and the DNC don't want to help. But guess who's going there this weekend?
Bernie
Sanders.
Last
weekend before the election, Bernie is touring all four of the big cities. In fact, the first one is in Missoula, which is where Democrats clean up. If Democrats going to win in Montana, that means they're going to slaughter anyone they go up against in Missoula. That's the most important city for Democrats. That's where Bernie is starting his barnstorm with Rob. And the place that I can't remember the name of it, they booked a theater to do it in, which held 1,200 people. It sold out so fast that they've now booked a 7,500 seat outdoor.
Wow.
I think it's an outdoor place. An outdoor place in a field house.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
It is. It just shows. I mean, Bernie did really well in Montana. He beat Hillary. Handily.
Yes.
And, you know, certain places Hillary did really, really well. She did. I mean, there, you know, in Orange County, California, mm-hmm. in the suburbs of the big Texas cities, she did great.
Mm-hmm.
But she was the wrong candidate for a lot of places, Montana being one of them. But Bernie was the right candidate. People loved him there.
That's great.
He's going to be there campaigning. I mean, it's interesting how there are so many Democrats who are running for seats, you know, for congressional seats and other offices, and they all want Bernie. I don't hear any of them saying they want Debbie Wasserman Schultz to come campaign. None.
Nope.
Nobody wants
Debbie
Wasserman Schultz. Nobody wants Nancy Pelosi. Nobody wants Steny Hoyer. They want their money, but nobody wants to go campaigning with them.
That's right.
Who do they want to campaign with? They want to campaign with Bernie Sanders.
Right, because he's the most popular politician in the country. Right. They should, and that's the problem. They still don't learn anything. Bernie Sanders is the most popular politician in the country, and every poll that they ask the question, it's Bernie. So maybe they'll eventually learn something. I don't know. Howie Klein, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. Howie Klein. Find him at downwithtyranny.com. Of course, the Blue America PAC. I'll have links to both on the blog at NicoleSandler.com. And with that, we come to the end of another show. Tomorrow, big show tomorrow, we're going to find out about that We Cry or whatever it was called, the ransomware virus thing that went around with our ethical hacker friend. And Wendell Potter returns to the program. Talk about healthcare. All right. Until then, I'll leave you with Brad and Desi in the Green News Report. Thank you. See you tomorrow.
It's Thursday, May 18, 2017.
Virginia is now uniquely positioned to become a leader in the effort to reduce carbon emissions and stave off the most dramatic consequences of climate change.
Virginia governor sets up carbon cap and trade system.
What this really is about is taking away public lands from the American people.
Bears Ears National Monument targeted for repeal on behalf of oil and gas industry. EPA gets an earful on which pollution regulations to repeal or not. Plus,
Glacier National Park is slowly losing what it's named after, its famous glaciers.
See it while you still can. National Park glaciers are going.
All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
In fact, I've been, criticized by some of my opponents as saying you've put somebody in charge of the EPA who sued the EPA 13, 14, 15 times. My response to that is they deserved it.
Okay, so what did we do to deserve you, Scott Pruitt? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, as the administration and its EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt, do whatever they can to abandon the environment, it's being left up to states and state governors to try to save it.
That's absolutely right. Virginia's Democratic Governor Terry McAuliffe on Tuesday signed an executive order to create a cap and trade system for the state's power plants. Cap and trade is a market-based mechanism that caps the emissions from power plants and allows them to trade and sell their unused allowances to essentially profit from reducing their emissions. Virginia is grappling with rising sea levels that are already causing nuisance flooding in coastal cities. Governor McAuliffe said, since President Trump is rolling back climate policies, states must now take the lead to fight climate change.
Virginia cannot afford to sit idly by as the new administration rolls back common sense policies. The citizens of our Commonwealth want and expect us to confront this issue. That is why we are announcing bold action today.
You know, it's strange. We hear all the time from Republicans that cap and trade legislation will destroy the economy. Odd that the governor of Virginia and the governors of California and elsewhere would want to destroy their own economy.
Funny, it's actually turning out to be a helpful part of the economy in California.
Huh.
Internationally, as the U.S. falls behind because of President Trump's policy reversals, the world's other two largest emitters are making fast gains. According to a new analysis from CarbonTracker.org, China and India, the world's two most populous countries, are making such rapid progress in cutting the growth of their own carbon emissions that they're on track to not only meet, but beat their emissions reduction pledges under the United Nations Paris Climate Agreement.
Weird. We were told that would kill the economy, too.
Meanwhile, in Montana, if you want to see Glacier National Park, you should probably go sooner rather than later. A new report from the U.S. Geological Survey says that the glaciers the park is named for are disappearing. Since just the 1960s, the glaciers have shrunk 40% on average. Some have shrunk as much as 85%. Out of about 150 glaciers in the park in the late 1800s, there are now only 26, still big enough to qualify for the name. Meanwhile, the Trump administration's Environmental Protection Agency got quite an earful when it asked for public comment on which pollution regulations to repeal in response to an executive order from President Trump. Turns out people like their clean air and clean water. The Washington Post reports the EPA received more than 55,000 comments,
wow,
with defenders opposed to rolling back EPA pollution rules, outnumbering industry critics by 73-1.
Wow. So they had opened up a line to ask people what we should do away with, what rules, what regulations we should do away with. And everyone called and said, keep them, keep the regulations in place?
That's right.
Wow.
The EPA comment docket is now closed, but the Interior Department is now taking public comments on which of your national monuments you'd like to keep. A Trump executive order directs Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke to recommend recently designated monuments for repeal. You can tell him what you think at regulations.gov. One of the monuments targeted for repeal by the oil and gas industry is the new Bears Ears National Monument in Utah. Bears Ears was protected by President Obama back in December after a years-long effort by Native American tribes trying to protect their ancestral lands from rampant looting. Utah's state and federal lawmakers are lobbying to strip Bears Ears of protected status. Attorney Matt Campbell of the Native American Rights Fund said on a recent broadcast, it's a blatant attempt to open Bears Ears to mining, drilling, and fracking.
What this really is about is taking away public lands from the American people to free them up for resource exploitation. And the tribes view this area as very important. There's hundreds of thousands of artifacts and archaeological sites and landmarks and objects of historic and scientific interest within all the regions of Bears Ears.
The Interior Department has purposely made the Bears Ears public comment period very short. You can make your voice heard, again, by leaving a comment at regulations.gov.
Where?
Regulations.gov.
Got it. For all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? It'd be a paradise to put up a fucking line. You took all the trees and put them in a tree.